us now to universal cures in the future. This is the Perpetual Notion Machine for Thursday, October 11, 2018. I'm your host, Dennis Schaefer. So many diseases, conditions, and health issues, so few treatments and cures. Some are just painful, debilitating, and annoying. Some, like cancer, Alzheimer's, Ebola, and heart disease, can be life-threatening. Cures and treatments take time. Medical research is a long, slow, tedious, and painstaking process at the expense of the people suffering from these diseases. So, the National Institutes of Health has developed a program to help accelerate the research and improve general health. It's called the All of Us Research Program. They are asking for volunteers to give them information about their health, physical condition, and lifestyle, and UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health has become part of the effort. So, joining me tonight is Kevin Kiley from the All of Us Research Program, but I also want to mention that the team from the UW-Madison has organized several sessions at the Wisconsin Science Festival, which started today through and it goes through the weekend. We will talk about that later. And during our conversation, if you have a question for Kevin, please call us at the station at 256-2001. Someone will be here answering the phone, and that person will be writing down your name and question, and I will ask it on the air. So, Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, let's get started. First off, how and why did UW-Madison become involved in this program?
UW-Madison has a long history of interest in precision health, which is looking at ways to find the right treatment, the right prevention for each individual person. The other thing that UW-Madison has been involved in historically is health equity. And the All of Us Research Program is highly interested in getting underrepresented groups, such as the Latinx community, African Americans, involved in health research, which they have not been in the past. The All of Us Program is highly focused on that. So the university... UW-Madison put in a grant application for this, and it is one of 10 sites nationwide to receive a grant to roll out the program.
Yeah, that's right. So you're searching for volunteers to get data. What kind of health information are you looking for?
Okay, so I can just walk you through the process here. So when someone is interested in joining All of Us, then go to joinallofus.org. Or then go to allofus.wisc.edu, which is the local website. They sign up there. They provide consent to participate in the research program. They provide access to their EHR. And then they answer health and lifestyle survey questions. And then they need to book an appointment in person. That can be done at UW Hospital. That can be done at the School of Nursing on campus. There are three UW Health clinics, East, West, and the American Center, that are enrolling people. And at that appointment, they provide a sample of blood and a sample of urine, and they have measurements taken, height, weight, and a waist.
Could you give me an example of or what kinds of questions that they ask? Is it very specific to the person?
How much do you work? How many hours a week do you work? Where do you live? What sort of activities are you involved in? Exercise level, things like that. Yeah. They're all health and lifestyle questions that are in that first.
So aren't necessarily specifically geared toward any particular kinds of diseases.
Correct. Then. Yes, correct. Yep.
Then you said that you come in and you give blood and urine?
Correct.
Is there a physical exam done at all by a doctor? Do people get a physical exam at all?
No, it's just general height, weight, waist measurement. These are all done by nurses on staff, but it's not an actual physical exam. But the person, when they sign up for the program, they do get their own portal online, so all that information is returned to them within their portal, but it doesn't count as an actual physical exam.
Okay. You probably won't be able to answer this question. I'll ask it anyway. What, you know, you take blood and urine, and that gets specific down to the person. What are they? Are they looking for anything? Is it DNA or anything specific? I don't know if you can answer that or not, but.
Well, at this point, I mean, I will mention that I'm not a researcher, and we are at the very early stages of this program. It's a five-year program. I can mention that when the biosamples are collected, the blood and the urine, they are separated from the information that's provided by the person. So everything gets assigned a number, and they're separate numbers. And the biosamples are stored at Mayo Clinic. They actually created a biobank for this initiative, and then all of the health and lifestyle survey data is stored in a database at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, you answered my next question, actually. It's what happens to the data. So there is a common database where all the data cuts, but yet there's a portal that's specific to the individual as well.
Correct. They have a username and password, and they can go in and see their basically the vitals that came out of their in-person visit.
So it sounds like that some of the information that's gathered is pretty basic. I mean, it's not like, I mean, it's like one question that my doctor asked me is like, has your father had cancer? Or I've had eye problems. Has your father had, glaucoma or things like that might be passed down? I assume that it's more genetic or hereditary. Is that what's part of what's, information? Is it, I go back to specifically in disease specific, but it might be sounds like pretty very general. You said lifestyle, that could be very, very basic too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of health history, but and I will say this too, if you do enroll into the program, you can get in, you can do the surveys. If you decide that it's not for you, you can opt out. It's not like you're locked in. So you can, you can go in and see what kind of questions that they're asking, but it is more on the basic end, because the research at this point is very open-ended. The ultimate goal is to really speed up health research for a number of conditions. It's nothing that's really like pinpointed, like specifically for cancer or Alzheimer's or diabetes. They want to keep this open for, research questions that might come down the road in the next few years.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit too. I don't know if you can answer those questions or not, but anyway, about the data itself, you're in the process of gathering the data now. Is there steps to guarantee the anonymity? Is there you don't want to, get hacked or anything where identity is stolen. Is there steps to guarantee that or help in security?
Yes. I mean, I can give you a very top level idea of the process. I mean, I mentioned earlier that your biosamples are, no name is attached to it. It's a random number that goes with your biosamples. Your random number goes with your survey data. And those are stored in separate areas. So the biosamples, like I mentioned, go to Mayo. The survey data goes to Vanderbilt.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a central key that is stored as well with the NIH. But everything is completely de-identified, and they want to keep this as anonymous as possible. That's the main goal.
Yeah, so you're not referencing it by name. You're referencing it by some acronym or lettering or word.
Yeah,
some key.
Correct. Everybody is given a random number. And if anybody listening wants to find out more about the security, you can find out everything and more on joinallofus.org. There's a page that runs down all the security protocols that are in place.
Okay.
I will say, for those of you who may have engaged in 23andMe, something like that, this program has a lot more security safeguards than you're going to see with those types of efforts. So we feel pretty confident in the security of the program.
Oh, okay. Good. So you had brought up the fact that the idea is to gather this preliminary, I suppose it's early detection kind of information to help speed up the research process. Is that basically the idea behind all this?
Yeah, that is really it. This is going to be the largest biobank of its kind ever.
Wow.
And what they want to do is just put all this money and resources behind this effort to allow researchers who are vetted, and that process hasn't started yet, but when that process does start, it's going to be a rigorous application process, and then they are given access to the data. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a researcher again, so I'm not sure how that will look, but that is the idea. So they want cancer researchers, they want diabetes researchers, heart disease, Alzheimer's researchers to be able to get in and help them with their studies.
Yeah. Let me ask you this instead of another, I'll probably ask you this again too. One thing that I read on one of those websites you mentioned, and have you repeat those, and also let me make a point of when we get the show posted, we'll have links to all those websites. One thing I did notice in one of them, they refer to precision medicine. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So in the past, health research has been kind of a one-size-fits-all, cookie-cutter sort of thing. Most of the people who have participated in health research in the past look like me, Caucasian, and male. So what's a treatment that's going to work for somebody like me is not necessarily going to work for somebody in the African-American community. So what precision medicine is trying to find the right treatment for the right person and matching that up. So whether that's finding the right pharmaceuticals, devising pharmaceuticals that are going to work for specifically for a certain person, finding, for instance, a cancer treatment that is more specific for a certain type of cancer and for the person who has that cancer. It's not just like saying everybody gets like radiation, for instance.
Right.
It's not a cookie cutter approach. It's really getting down to the nuts and bolts of who this person is, you know, what's their makeup, what's their history, and then finding a solution that works best for them. If you go to the website, joinallofus.org, one of the leaders of the program is named Eric Dishman. He is a cancer survivor, and he's got a great story about how the precision medicine approach helped him. And that's really what got him in to be so involved with this program. And it's a great story. If you want to get a real-world example of how that works, read Eric Dishman's story.
Yeah. As a follow-up, what I wanted to ask you, it sounds like with everything combined, all this data, that's the thing that I was wondering, and you mentioned this, is that for each person that enters this data, they could have a treatment designed just for them. And I was like thinking that it's more, I don't know if holistic is the right word, but generalized or overall. But it can be both that and specific.
Yes.
To each person then.
Yeah, I think part of the approach is finding patterns. People who live in similar areas or, you know, live a similar lifestyle, similar background in different parts of the country, and those are patterns that aren't typically found easily. But when you get a sample of a million people, that's when you have more of these opportunities to match those situations up. There could be somebody getting a groundbreaking treatment out in California, for instance, for a similar disorder to somebody in Wisconsin, but that's not known here. And that's what, you know, this large sample, they want to be able to find these treatments and be able to match them up with people who are in a similar situation.
Yeah, I'm going to have another follow-up.
Okay.
But first off, let me remind people out there that are listening to us that if you have a question, you know, since you've been listening to our conversation, if you have a question, please call us at 256-2001. Again, 256-2001. We have people answering the phones, and they will write down your question and give it to me, and I will ask Kevin. So, from what I gather, one of my questions is that I was thinking maybe the data would be specific to diseases. But what you're describing is that it's front end. It's like, oh, we have these diseases that are all around, but if we concentrate on the people, then we might be able to find cures sooner.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. That's
that's sort of sounds like, because that's what one of my questions was. Well, why don't you, like, we got all these, you know, dozens and dozens of, you know, all these different kinds of cancers. Cancer is the worst disease I can think of, because there's so many different types: leukemia, lung, you know, pancreatic. I mean, they're all different. And maybe that's what you want, is to get information to zero in to find cures for each specific disease. But that's not the case, really.
Well, eventually the hope is that, that with all of the, with these million people involved, that you're gonna see situations that will, you know, you find ways to prevent as well as cure, like, various types of cancer. I mean, that's definitely would be one of the goals. One of the things that you mentioned with this being more of an upfront study, one of the things that people don't really think about is, you know, there's a lot of concentration on what gets people sick, but there should be a concentration on what keeps people healthy as well.
Mm.
So that's why, you know, they're also, I mean, the study is open to people who are sick, unfortunately, but it's also open to people who are healthy, and they want to make sure that they're looking at ways that, you know, what are the lifestyle factors, what are the environmental factors that keep someone healthy, and that's also a big part of the project.
What are people doing right?
Exactly it. Yep.
And I know some of the people I've talked to, Alzheimer's is an example. Last year at the book festival, there was a nice author with one of her subjects that was about his family, and the name of the book and the family I can't think of right now, but they were doing a study of this family, and they were doing upfront research on the grandchildren, and there, in fact, one of the persons that was there was pregnant. And she was worried because she thought that Alzheimer's ran in the family. So she was worried about that, you know, her, you know, baby might end up with it. And she's in this study. And it's a long-term study to try to, you know, pick out the, you know, the markers, the biomarkers, early enough to come up with something. And then, you know, like, what's, you know, what are they doing right? I mean, this is a genetic thing, but, you know, what are people doing right to live longer, you know? And then our, you know, our length of age is growing, maybe not so much in this country, but people are living to 100 a lot longer, you know, or more people. So what are they doing right? You know,
exactly.
It's not just healthy eating and exercise. I'm sure it's not.
And there, I mean, there, they will definitely be examining genetic factors as well. I mean, that's a big part of this too. But I mean, there obviously there are certain cancers that their the environment has an effect, and lifestyle.
Yeah, right.
You know, smoking, for instance,
exactly,
is obviously a big link. I mean, there are diseases that are heavily in, you know, involved in genetics, and part of this effort will be looking at that as well.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you, and I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to answer it, it's it's a research question, is that all this data is going to be coming in, and I was curious how they're going to use the data. I'm guessing that, you know, maybe Epic or somebody will have these database software that will kind of parse out the data and get everything that you need, that, say, a researcher needs. That's the way I'm thinking that it might end up. How is the data going to be used?
Not being a researcher, and again, very early in the study, I think it's very open in terms of how the data are going to be used. I can say, like I mentioned earlier, the biosamples are being stored at Mayo. The health and lifestyle survey data is being stored at Vanderbilt, and then the NIH is involved as the central, kind of the director of the program. So I think all three of those institutions, as well as the 10 institutions that are involved, including UW-Madison, are going to be involved in, you know, how that data, how that's going to look, and as well as vetting of the researchers to have access to it. We don't know, as far as me sitting here, I don't know, like, what types of research questions are going to be put to these data. But I just know that that's the plan, that I believe in spring of 2019, they're looking at accepting the first applications for access to it.
Okay, let me ask you that. Have you been, or I say you, the All of Us program, been in contact with medical researchers or vice versa? Have they been contacting you to indicate, well, this is what we want?
I mean, not personally. I know there is interest in this program.
Okay.
And I will say that the NIH has launched a research portal for researchers.
Okay.
The data has not been loaded there yet.
Right.
But anyone who is interested in the research can go to, I think it's allofusresearch.org. Don't quote me on that. But if you would Google All of Us Research Portal, you'll find it. You'll see the website. And you can actually sign up for a newsletter that will go out and update researchers on the progress of the data.
Well, then, you said that that you're still in the gathering stage. How do you know when you've got everything you want? and my follow-up question, I'll ask this right away, is that, well, if you've gotten some, why can't that information be accessible too early on?
It's going to be. It's not a wait for 5 years and get the million people.
Okay.
Like I said, they are looking at opening up access spring of 2019. I can say that nationally, we just crossed the 100,000 participant milestone. The great thing about that, as an aside, and I don't think it's really an aside, I think it's something to boast about, is 70% of that sample is from underrepresented groups.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah, so it's off to a really, really great start. Yep.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about how many volunteers have you gotten so far? You said 100,000?
Nationwide. It's over 100,000 now, yeah.
Do you know how many in the Madison or Wisconsin?
I don't have that number off the top of my head. I will say the goal within Wisconsin is 300,000 by the end of the five years.
Really?
Yep, and in Madison itself, 100,000 by the end of the 5 years.
Oh, man.
So it's lofty.
I'm glad that you mentioned that the majority of people are from, you know, minorities and stuff.
And
that's great.
Yeah, and I think with that high of a rate at 70%, I think even at the national level, they were very, very surprised and very pleased about that, and we were as well.
Okay, I may ask you another question later, but I mentioned that Wisconsin Science Festival, you have a session. You did one this morning. Were you at that one?
I was not there today. My two colleagues were there. Yep.
Could you elaborate about what that session was all about?
Sure. So we're at the Discovery Expo, which is at the Discovery Building. It's from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. We'll be there tomorrow as well, so please stop by and say hi. So today was actually a lot of school kids. I think they said there were about 1,400 that came through there today.
Wow.
So what we like to do, because it's such a big part of the program, genetics is such a big part, we have a big DNA model that kids can play with. It's probably about 3 feet tall, sits on the table, and they come up and it's like a puzzle sort of thing. They can play with that. We've got, they're called Eppendorf tubes, where various liquids can be stored in those in a lab. And we've got them brightly colored, and the kids will make bracelets and necklaces and stuff out of those. They really like doing that. And then, you know, whenever there's an opportunity to talk with a parent or with a teacher, to participate in the study, you have to be 18 and over.
Okay.
It's a great opportunity to teach kids about the environment, how the environment affects your health, how genetics is involved, you know, show them DNA. A lot of times they tell us more than we're able to tell them, which is great. Just the kind of like the Eppendorf tubes, just kind of a fun thing for them to engage in.
Were you signing up people, participants?
Again, if it's, you know, parents that are interested or teachers, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can sign them up right on the spot.
And there you have two more sessions. You have, I don't know if it's tomorrow and Saturday or Saturday and Sunday.
We're going to be there tomorrow from 9 to 2 and then Sunday as well. I think Sunday it's 10 to 2.
Okay.
And Sunday is more families. Today and tomorrow is kind of more of the school kids sort of thing, but yeah, I believe they get a lot more families on Sunday, and I'll be there Sunday, so stop down and say hi.
That's great. I guess we got some more, a little bit more time. I was thinking that it started in 2015, but you've started actually gathering the information this last spring.
Yeah, they rolled it out in phases. So the history of the program, it started out as the Precision Medicine Initiative that was introduced by the Obama administration.
Yeah, okay.
And it's been branded as All of Us. So you'll see, we're going to start actually more advertising within the community. So you'll hear radio ads coming up.
Okay.
And you'll see, hopefully you'll see the logo a little bit more on buses and things like that. But yeah, it was introduced by the Obama administration, and it's been rolled out in phases. And at UW-Madison, we started collecting or recruiting people, I should say, late last year. And that was basically the beta phase. Or the alpha phase, I should say. And then nationally, the program was launched in May of this year. So it's still pretty young.
Yeah, it's I guess the primary goal right now is to get that million or so.
Mm-hmm.
That's the how do you feel pretty optimistic that this is going to make a difference?
I personally, yeah. I mean, I do have a really good feeling that that, you know, this has never been done before. And the fact that I really, really like the fact that they're focusing on these underrepresented groups, which just haven't had a, you know, it's giving voice to the voiceless. I mean, they really haven't had an opportunity to be involved in health research at this level. So I really am excited about what that could do for those communities especially. But I think in general, you know, we've all been touched by cancer, by diabetes, yep, heart disease, you know, Alzheimer's, just these terrible, terrible conditions. And, you know, if it's another effort that can make a difference and find some medical breakthroughs that are going to improve the future of health for all of us, then, you know, I'm all for it. This is not a program that you're going to see a difference tomorrow. This is a program that, you know, you'll hopefully see a difference for your kids or your grandkids or their kids. Like I said, it's a 5-year program, but it's going a lot faster than research typically goes, and that's the goal.
Yeah, I mean, lung cancer. My mother died of lung cancer in 1990. Hmm. It's still a problem today.
Yeah, absolutely,
still a problem today. Could you again, for our listeners that are interested in volunteering, where should they go? Exactly.
There are actually three ways you can go. There's an app that's in the App Store. It's just All of Us. You can just search for that.
Okay.
You can go to the national website, which is joinallofus.org, or you can go to the local website, which is allofus.wisc. That's WISC.edu.
Okay, thank you. This has been another edition of the Perpetual Notion Machine, brought to you by the Madison Science Radio Collective. Thanks again to our guest, Kim and Kylie, for joining us tonight. Dave Harker was our engineer. I'm your host and producer of tonight's show, Dennis Schaefer. Please tune in again next week for another exciting edition of the Perpetual Notion Machine. Coming up next, radio literature. Just got to find this ghetto manager everyone's singing about.